This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Darius Thomas.
I love that you said that.
And Karina Anglada.
We got time.
Not all success stories follow a straight path. And our guest today is Joanna Barriela Torna, and she took an unexpected path that led her to becoming a motion designer and art director for the Miami Heat. Her journey is one that began in Cuba, led her to Spain, and now in Florida, where she works with an incredible team with the Miami Heat. She has such amazing insights and is incredibly talented, so grab your favorite beverage and enjoy her story and this episode.
All hearts and minds clear. All right.
All clear.
27.
27? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. We're in spring training mode right now.
This is my first rodeo on this podcast.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller Effects, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini-course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step-by-step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
Joanna, we are so excited to chat with you today. You have such an incredible background, and we'd love to get our listeners to hear a little bit more about you. So tell us your name and your current role and what you do at the moment.
Sure. My name is Joanna Torna. I am the art director for the Miami Heat. I am on the Miami Heat already 7 years. So, and I'm happy to be there. It's a very nice place to work with.
The Miami Heat, I feel like, have such a great creative team. I know several of the folks on your team, but I'm curious, like, what was your journey to joining the Heat? You said you joined 7 years ago. What were the career steps that you took before you got to the Heat?
Well, it was a long story.
We got time.
I joined the Heat in 2017. I was first on Univision Fusion, after Univision, and before Miami Heat, I was on MTV Latin America.
Cool.
For 1 year, I was. Yes, it was 1 year on MTV Latin America. So I started Miami Heat as a part-timer. So after 1 year there I get the promotion to be a senior motion designer. We always be a team of six, but at that moment we was three to handle absolutely everything. And it was a very hard moment. And after that, we get the six that we need for the team, and I get the promotion to the art director a year ago for the motion team.
Congratulations. So you are officially the art director specifically focused on motion design.
Yes.
Did you know when you were younger that you wanted to get into career motion design? Did you draw all the time? Were you creative as a young girl? What was your background from a creativity standpoint?
Well, actually, no, because I started as a screenwriter. So how I started was writing.
Oh, interesting.
I wrote a lot. I wrote poems, storytellings, dramas, stuff like that. So when I started working on the television in Cuba, I started as a producer, a director assistant, and a screenwriter. That was how I started a long time ago. So when I moved to Madrid, I changed my career because I realized that the producers and a screenwriter, it was too hard to insert in the community in Spain. So my husband, he is a visual effects artist too. And so he told me, I think you can do this. Like, I'm sure about it. I never used After Effects before. I don't know nothing about Photoshop. And he told me, yes, I think you can do it. So I started learning. He helped me a lot in that moment. Well, he almost helped me a lot, actually. He pushed me a lot. So he told me that one thing that I'm never going to forget, you can use your imagination for writing inside to the design. And this is what you need to grow, because the rest of the scene are tools. The same that you use the pencil as your tool, you can use Photoshop, After Effects, Illustrator as your tool. And that moment was where my mind changed. So I started my career in motion design. It was in 2009 and in Spain.
Wow. Okay. So wait, I feel like we touched on so many things that I want to, you know, double click on. I hate that term, by the way, double click on. But okay, you're originally from Cuba, and then yeah. You said you ended up moving to Spain, and I believe you were there for about 6 years.
Yes.
And then you moved to Miami. Is that right?
Yes.
Got it. So I'm most interested in the fact that you learned a lot from your husband. And it sounds like he was a visual effects artist, right?
Yes.
I love your story because I think so many of us in the creative industry, we need that like accountability partner sometimes. And it sounds like he was that for you when yes. You were starting. Do you still, you know, show each other ideas and, you know, bounce creative things off one another? What's it like today?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely. Because he's also a motion designer. So yes, when we have a project, we share an ideas and we criticize a lot each other too. But even that we are artists that we live together, we don't have the same style or the same taste. Of course, in some moments we have on the same line, but the greatest is that we are not have the same style when we create stuff. But definitely he always look what I doing in the same way that I look what he's doing. And we shared a lot together. And also he told me, hey, this is a new tool that is coming to the market. Or I told him, hey, look at this. So it's always part of our conversation day to day, actually.
That's so cool. I love that.
So I guess what tools do you use most often in your work? You know, seeing your amazing reel that you posted, it looks like you have some 3D and 2D. Can you explain a little bit more about the tools you use and your style?
Yeah, I am mostly 2D animator. I don't use 3D. The 3D is another part of my team, another team members on my team that they use the 3D. But what I use most is After Effects. And generate the big picture, and we split between all of us what we need to do, so everything looks like one person make it. So this is the goal that we always have when we have a project that looks like it, just one person make it. Even that, but it normally the six of us touch that project for sure. So someone's, for example, normally I start to create the style of the animation and the look, and they come in with the, okay, some of them is gonna do the 3D, I'm gonna create how it's gonna look in 2D, some transitions or the lower layer or stuff like that, or how gonna look the generic look. And then we just make layers inside, how we say it. So each of us do it something inside the project.
That's awesome. And I'd love to hear a little bit more insight into specifically what your role is as art director, because I think you alluded to it a little bit, right? Like you set the overall scene for what the full picture is going to look like. And, you know, for the Miami Heat, that's the full video board. It's the LEDs, it's the supporting, you know, VOMs and things like that. But in your role as art director, can you break that down for what you do in a given week? I'm sure it varies week to week, but in general, what that role entails?
Yeah, sure. For example, we always receive the deck from our creative director, that he is great artist. So when we receive the deck, he always prepare on base of print and photography. So when I receive that deck, I need to translate that on animation. And normally we need to twitch some stuff on that deck because sometimes when he creates for print, it's not normally where we're going to see it on the animation. Of course, with the same style, with the same feel, with the same colors and look. But normally I change a little bit so it looks more cohesive and it looks more stuff that we can do in animation. Actually, for example, on the Vice campaigns that you guys see it on LinkedIn that I recently posted, when he generated the deck, it was everything very flat. And the colors on bases on the shadows on the photography, they are RGB shadows. So when I saw that, it was very challenging for me because I need to translate that into the animation, like, and say, okay, I just have RGB shadows, some typography, how we can animate this. So I tried to combine, I explained to him that some elements are going to convert in 3D. And another thing that I told him was that I'm going to create like arena looks like a set that we have on the photography. So that is going to give us the opportunity to generate that shadows as elements. On, for example, in basic shapes, because we also have on the deck the feeling of Miami or the Art Deco on Miami, but we don't want to show the Art Deco as normally you see it. We want to show on the different things. So I proposed to him use the basic shapes and animate that basic shape with colors. So it gives us that illusion, the RGB shadows as a transitions and mix everything together on the arena. And that's what we did. And I think we did it, but it was one of the hardest deck that I work from because sometimes it's like, okay, how we can do this in animation? Because it's not the same. And some of the elements that they use for print, it doesn't work for us on animation. Mostly because the crazy shapes that we have on the screens, because the fascias and the halos is hard. We have inside to the arena right now 55 screens.
55?
55. Plus the flame ball that is new. So for generate that is not just repeat because they are huge. So if we repeat the graphing in each of the screen, it not looks gray because it's like, this is very repetitive. Right. So this year with this new screen, I come with idea that every screen is going to have a main full graphic that like combined with the reference dance. So when you are inside to the arena, it's like a immersion experience of what you are seeing on the LEDs. So this is the work that I'm doing as a director of the motion teams. It's mostly translate what we get from our creative director into the animation.
That is next level. And by the way, if you're listening, you need to Google her right now, look at her LinkedIn page, connect with Joanna, and check out the work because as Justin mentioned, your reel is incredible. And then just seeing the insight, I was, as you were speaking about the shapes and pulling from Art Deco, I was looking at a video you had posted on LinkedIn where you can, you know, see all of that come to life. That insight is super helpful. I love how you broke that down. And 55 video boards of some component. I think a lot of folks in the creative industry that are in the motion design team are like, oh yeah, that sounds about right. But for the average fan, they're not thinking about all of those specifics and details and dimensions that the work your team is doing. So it's amazing to hear a little bit of behind the scenes for it.
And it's specified inside, but also we need to create the graphic for outside sprints.
True.
The columns, the activation, the launch. Yeah, every campaign is a lot of work. Because Plus we was talking the other day, because Plus, for example, the headshots are 17 or 20 players at the beginning of the season. So we need to create 17 or 20 players plus for every single screen.
Okay, this is a good question. How many deliverables approximately are you delivering by the start of the season? Like before the tip-off even happens, before a second of the NBA season has officially started, like how many assets has your team delivered on?
I really can't count because...
It's a lot.
Just imagine that we deliver, you know, also the screens. We deliver assets for the content team, for social team, for the designer also, because sometimes we are creating new assets as we did for Bice campaign, but later we deliver also that for the designer team so they can use it as a part of the prints graphics that they're going to create or the social media graphics that they're going to create. So in assets, it's a lot, but also plus the assets that we create for our screens, I don't know, so imagine this 17 players for 55 screens side to the arena, plus all of the screen outside to the arena. Just that is a lot of renders. So I remember someone told me at the beginning of the season, how much you think that is going to take render the new flame ball? The new flame ball is almost 8K. It's not 8K, but it's almost 8K.
Wow.
So
yeah.
When we receive the template, we need to tweak that template because it doesn't work perfectly for us and for our workflow. So we say, okay, let's mapping us. Let's redo it on 3D. So it was a lot of work. And I can tell you, 15 seconds render in 3D for a flame ball that we did for core campaign, it cost us 47 hours of render. Just one piece.
Holy cow.
Yes. So the thing that we are always trying to do is work very, very in advance.
You're organized though, like the whole process that you just talked through, I think a lot of, I mean, it explains why the content that you produce is so good, is because it's well thought out and you have the time and energy. Well, theoretically, you have the time ahead of time to be able to produce it.
Sometimes we don't have, but the greatest thing, and I think that is the most important that we have, is my team members.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are like family. We are six and we always are together. We think together. We trust a lot each other. Mm-hmm. And we cover each other. So it's never like, I'm going to own this or you're going to own this. No, it's always try to help us each other. And at the beginning of the season, I can tell you, we work, I don't know, 12, 14 hours a day, weekends, everything. And four of us are daddies and mommies. So it's harder, but it's the way that I told you. So we complement a lot. So I think it's a greatest part of our work and our synergy that we have together, that even when I come with a crazy idea, they always laughing because... And they always tell me, between six of us, we speak in Spanish. So they always tell me, a ver con qué tú vienes.
That's okay. Translate for the rest of us that can't speak Spanish. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. They always tell me, let's see where you're coming from. Because it's, they are always laughing that I say something like it's hard to do it, but I like to push myself and I like to push them. I think we always try to do something different with each campaign. Our team and my creative director, coming up with something that is different on the NBA, on the sports, because I think our reference is more from art than from what the other teams are doing. And we are always trying to see what is trending in art, what is trending on animation, what is trending on design, mostly that see inside what another teams are doing. And I think that is the goal that we are doing every campaign.
I love that on so many levels, just because I feel like for me, while I like looking at what other teams do, I feel like sometimes the best ideas come from outside of sports. And you seem to mention that with your team. It also seems like you have a very specific leadership style and a almost like a family unit that you described on your team. I'm curious, do you feel like you being a woman, you being from Cuba, you being from, you know, anything about your background helps impact you as a leader and leading this team? Because it seems like you're curating a tight-knit group.
I can say yes, but it's more about the personality. Because I am a very friendly person.
Yeah.
So I respect I think the base of what I have with my team is based on the respect. I respect them as an artist. I respect them as a person. And the same way that I want they respect me. That doesn't mean that we are joking a lot. We have the most incredible conversations. But when we need to work, we work together as a unit. For example, I mentioned to you that the woman part is funny because, of course, you know that in the motion world, it's not too much a woman. So we are
right.
Two women and four men. And it's okay. Funny because they always told me that I am the mommy of the team.
Okay, wait, I gotta ask, do you like that? Because I feel like sometimes it could be taken both ways.
I just take as a joke because I know that they say as a joke. I am not the older of the team, but but the second older.
Love that.
So I take as a joke because I know that they say as a joke. So I don't care. I'm fine with my age. So
right.
So it's good. And also that, yes, I seem to be an immigrant as I am, and this is the third country that I live already.
Yeah.
It gives me the opportunity to see the life, or see the work in another perspective. You know, I don't know. I see sometimes we focus ourselves and we need to work and we need to learn this tool and we need to do this. And always try to embrace also what is around as a culture or as a place that you live, you know? So I am now in Miami and I live here 12 years already. And Miami is a very multicultural city. So I try to embrace that multicultural city. Even like my roots are Cuban because I'm born there. I left Cuba when I was 23 alone and I lived to Spain. And I embrace in Spain that culture. So that is part of my background as an artist and even as a leader because I try to show them that nothing in life is black or white, you know? So that's something that I learned hard in my life. As a woman and as an immigrant, that is a ton of great between that two colors. So that's how I live my life. So that's how I represent them also as a leader and defend them when I need to too.
Speaking of the work that the Miami Heat have done, I mean, they've had a longstanding reputation of doing amazing work. Whether that's in venue, on social, on television, talk about the tradition that Miami, that the Heat have done and how you incorporate your background into stretching that even further. Like, still been transcendent as a as an organization?
They give us, as artists, the freedom of create what we think is going to be good for the franchise. I'm talking about the creative part, no? And I think we have a great leaders that give us that freedom to and trust in us and that what we think that is going to be better and how we're going to look better on the screen, in social media, on content. Like, and I think that's the key, that they believe that what we can, the stuff that we can create is going to be something cool and something is going to be different and something that is going to be trending at some point. And I think that's the way that I said. And I think that's the thing that is mostly like from for the Heat franchise, that they give us as a creative persons that freedom of create.
I love it. You're a leader in the organization, you know, leading a team, but you also answer to other leadership. How important is it to have great leadership within an organization? I mean, you talked about the cohesiveness that you all like to have as an organization, but how important is it to have good leaders and to be a good leader in an organization?
I think it's very, very important. Also in the communication between the leaders is very important too, because you are not working alone as a, for example, motion team. You're going to work closely. For example, we are, I am party as the creative team, and the creative team as the designer, the motion team. So we create everything together, and also we need to deliver to another team. So another teams need from us to create stuff for them. You know, so as a leader, I need to have that very good relationship with the rest of the departments inside to the Heat, the same way that they have with us and the same way that our leaders have with us, you know, because that gives us the properly communication, but also the confidence that we can generate something together. You know, and when we have meeting that we need to talk, it's good that each other listen what we need to say it. And I think that's important. And I think that the Heat is something the Heat have that is very nice to have it. Because I come from working on television and working in another type of work that I don't feel this, what I have here in Miami Heat. And I think this is very important, and I think that makes the difference.
Yeah, that's awesome. So as far as collaboration goes, I'm thinking back to the trade deadline and hearing how many different assets you're building for the start of the season. I imagine trade deadline has to be one of your least favorite times of the year.
Oh, yeah.
when things happen and change, and you guys did have a change with the trade with a prominent player this year, and you brought in another prominent player. So I'm curious what that timeline looks like and how much of a change and how long it took you to be able to change out all of those assets that you had mentioned that you had built out in the beginning of the season.
Yes, the beginning of the season is the hardest time that we have, because normally we have two or three campaigns to deliver this amount of assets. It's not just one campaign, it's two or three. So it's two or three campaigns that we need to generate all of these. But plus we work also on the concerts. So imagine all of this stuff coming together at the same time. That's why I told you that the beginning of the season we work 14, 16 hours every day, including weekends, because we don't have a lot of time. And mostly because the amount of assets that we need to deliver. But I think we're planning a lot. So when the creative director delivered the campaign, I start to think in what we're going to do for each campaign. And for example, the media days sometimes are very close to the first game. And it's driving us crazy because probably going to receive the photos for the headshots 2 days before the first game. So what we are doing is we create templates that is just drop the picture and change the picture in that moment. So before the, normally before the media day, we already have the headshot done. So it's just with a placeholder photo from players and just change the player and generate the whole scene and make the renders. Because it's not, we don't have time. We can wait until the media day to have that, you know? And for example, the intro video, when we did, we created the intro video in-house, the motion team, 2 years ago. Actually, we won the Motionographer Award. It was a very, very detailed planning. What place we're going to film in, what time we're going to have. Normally, 5 or 10 minutes for each player for doing absolutely everything, not only for the intro, it's for our absolute activation that we're going to have during the season. So at that moment, you need to film absolutely everything. So it needs to be very, very, very detailed planning on that moment. And that's why I say normally we have in advance the graphics done. So we are running, but for example, it's the first campaign that we're going to deliver is core. We probably have core already done and we need to finish Vice as we have this year, or Culture, that is another campaign that we have this year. No, but we are trying to work very, very in advance. So it's help us to save time and already know what we want to do or how we're going to change. And sometimes it's hard for us because we're working on Vice, but we need to switch to Core that is completely different. And it's completely style animation. It's completely different colors. So sometimes it's hard, but I think planning our make very organized is the key to handle it.
And do you use anything? I just hearing you talk about all the different assets that you have to deliver and the templates that you're building out. Are you using anything like Templater, Dataclase Templater, or comps and spreadsheets, or anything to help you automate a little bit of that process once you get the assets in place to include into your template?
Not really. We create our own template in After Effects, for example, for the headshots, or for example, for genetic. We already know there are 55 screens, so we have a template where we have all the screens, and we just need to change the names and design that screens. But we are not using a spreadsheet. How is exactly how you pronounce it?
Yeah, spreadsheet.
We are not using. I saw another guys are using that right now, but since we are trying to make a different design for each screen, sometimes doesn't work for us. So what we create is a basic template where we have all the sizes of the screens and we design on top of that. And for example, for the headshot in specific, is more customized. Because of the screen, because the photos, because the players can be cut, the head, or stuff like that. And also, even when we have the template, we need to adjust. Because sometimes the action shot of the photos of the players, they don't do it the same. So you need to adjust manually.
Going back to your experience before getting to the Heat, I think you mentioned that you worked at MTV before you worked at Miami. What did you take from your past experience to help prepare you for your role with the Heat?
I learned a lot from a director that I worked to in Univision. She teach me a lot as a director because I truly believe that as a manager, you can micromanage another artist. You need to let them know what they are doing and trust on the process. And I trust and I learned that from her. Because when she gave me a project to work with, she always told me, you are the artist. You create the stuff. Give me your ideas. And I'm going to tell you maybe which one can work better or no. But I'm going to trust on your process. So I try to do the same with my team. So I can say that I learned a lot from her in Univision.
Out of all the things that you do at the Heat, like, I mean, we talked about it. You all have a lot of different, you know, themes and colors and all of the things that are happening in Miami. What's one of your favorite pieces that you all have worked on at the Heat since you've been there?
For sure, the mashup intro. It was hard because when we add an intro to our workflow, it's very hard because it's at more time that we need to spend to do that. But at the same time, it was very nice work on that and create a piece different and make may be the team involved on the creativity, how we're going to create a minute of animation for the main board. How we're going to film in the players, how we're going to do it. And also we put a lot of Easter eggs inside that intro video. Then, and it was very nice, the process, the creation process of that. When we was creating that, doing the storyboard, thinking on the idea, how synchronize one graphic with another. I remember that when we are trying to explain the idea for that intro, I saw the face to everyone outside to my team say, are you guys not sure what you're going to do? Yeah, we are sure. Because we use even an impossible shade to generate some scenes or the matrix scene inside with some graphics. So it was a lot of stuff that we have in our mind that we already as a team know how to do it. But until we don't done, many people don't understand what we are going to do. And that was one of the very, very nice projects that we work. And the Vice campaign, for sure, are very fun to work with.
When it comes to those intro videos, what is the process working with? Do you work with a video team? Is it an internal, external team? And what kind of pre-production goes into planning? That you just said that people don't really know what you're going to do until you're able to do it, which I think is awesome because it gives you a little bit more leeway to see how things are going and adjust when necessary on the innovation side of things, which allows you to push the content. But what is that? What are those conversations like early on to make sure you get the content that you need for creating what you want to create?
Yeah. Normally, so I need to write a brief and explain what we're going to do. For example, for Mashup, it was like a detailed explanation because of that. It was filming on green screen. Are we going to create the graphics that we're going to put there? And we need two players to do a specific action. Sometimes action, they are not comfortable to do it, because it's not the action shots or the type shots that I'm normally doing in the media day. But I have the help for a Stena team that it was helping me on the set. I give them the detailed storyboard, the detailed type of shots that we're gonna need, why we need that shot on another one, so that he can explain to the players. But also my background is from filming and production. So for me, it's not hard to do it because that I have that experience on the past. I started doing a music video and production TV shows. So for me, it's easy to explain what I want in a specific. But in this case, in that one, we use an external team that help us with the to create the set and everything. And for example, this year, we have the collaboration with the content team internally, and we help them to create, I design for the first time a set. We want our screen, and so I help them to design the set, to create the backgrounds that they're gonna use on the set, because we use the LED screen as one of the backgrounds. So I create for them the look, and they use it, and they later they edit in the video, they directing in the set. So always it's a collaboration that we have, and as I explained, it's a planning thing, because you need to have in advance what you're going to do with the players and with the amount of time that you have. For example, when we did the mashup, I already know that what I'm going to need for each player, why, and in what moment, you know? Even it's coming first arrow, and Adebayo is going to be the last one we're going to receive on the set, I already know how we need to film in then. To after have the connection on the video.
What would you say is your favorite part of motion design, and what is your least favorite part?
My favorite part is the part where I try to think what I'm gonna do. So I always, when I am in front to the new project, not a regular project, our daily, no, this type of project that are more challenging. The part where I think what I'm gonna do, how I need to explain to my team how to create the stuff, this is my favorite part. Because I think it's the most creative part. The part I less like is when the render is crashed, I need to redo it. Or the computer is crashed, or Master Effects crash, and it's, oh my God, I don't save it. That's the part that I hate it.
So when it comes to motion design, how do you deal with the setbacks of a project crash or something not rendering out properly? How do you deal with that, and how do you kind of stay focused as you're dealing with that setback?
Well, first, never lose the calm. It's the first thing. Never lose the calm. And when after After Effects crash, because that is something that always happens when you are in the middle of a very huge project. I think it's something that always happens. Well, I have a tick that is Control S or Command S. Always try to save. So probably I have that saver already. Because of that, because I always think that something gonna happen and it's gonna crash. If crash has happened a bunch of times, I always think, okay, let me see what I do wrong, or is my deploying that I'm using is not good enough for this moment. And sometimes I need to change something. For example, this year we was working on Core. And we was using the heat effect on After Effects. And that with the particulars and a bunch of stuff that we put, crashed After Effects all the time. All the time. It was, oh my God, this doesn't work. What are we gonna do? Okay, what we did, this is not gonna look the best as what we want. But it's the solution we need to do it, because we need to deliver the project, you know? So in that moment, it's most important to deliver to the project, because we need to have it, we need to have to deliver yes or yes. So maybe not gonna look the greatest for that moment, but we can redo it for the next game, you know? So probably it's stuff that we notice, but not everyone notice. So we need to live with that, you know? So in this case, we remove the heat effect on some of this, on some of the stuff, because we can deliver the almost 8K and doesn't crash, it's crash. So we need to have more time. So that's what we did. And that's the solution that we make sometimes. we're going to deliver it because we need to deliver and we need to fix it later. You know? So that's sometimes the thing. Or just remove the plugin that is give us the problem and try to make another solution or in another way, because that way doesn't work. And we can, for sure, the things that we have clear is we can put back the deliveries. The deliveries is day. I need to be this day because we need to test it. We need to see how it's going to look on the screen. Because probably something, when we see it, the last things we always have is the testing. Because in the testing is when we see that is we don't have seamless, or the loop works, the loops work or doesn't work. Or what we mind that it's going to look great on this screen doesn't look great as we think. So we always need to have time for the testing. For after that, make the chance that we need.
Yeah, I love the perspective of delivery. You know, done is better than perfect, because that's the world we live in, right?
Yes.
Thinking about all the different campaigns and creating a brief, I think sometimes people get caught up in this. Oh, well, the brief confines me, or the brief makes doesn't give me the creative freedom. So when you're talking about creating a brief for all these different campaigns that you're running, how do you think about that as a constraint for your team in order to, and how that is juxtaposed against the freedom to create or innovate?
This is my mantra. I always try to experiment and do something different. We always have the same colors to work with. For example, on our core campaigns, there's always black, red, white, and yellow. So what we are trying to do it is our deck is the same of the last year. We need to change and we need to generate something new for the screens. So we always try to experiment. 1 year we mix it a scanner animation with a spray paint. We mix 3D, like looks 2D, with a like 2D hand animation. So we always try to experiment on the things that we are doing. And I think that's the greatest things that we have, because we are very, we push, as I told you, we push a lot each other's. And not only me to them to me too. Because they're always, for example, we implement Unreal last year because one of my team want to learn Unreal. Okay, let's do it. So he started to learn Unreal. So he started to implement our logo Ball and Flame inside to environments and see how it looks like. You know, so it's that type of things that even that we have the deck, now we need to follow that deck, of course. We try to experiment from that, you know, and that's always something that we are doing every single season.
And how do you balance the time then too? Because the list of deliverables, the needs, the concerts, the games, all of that just sounds like your workload is just constantly high volume. How do you find the time to experiment? Is it the time for one person to have a couple of days to experiment where other people are working and you all kind of trade off and building in that time to allow each other to do that because of the relationships that you all have? Or what does that look like in order to still be able to deliver and hit your marks while creating the time and energy to allow someone to explore and potentially add to all the content that you're producing?
Yes, I told you, we cover each other. So for example, if you come in with an idea that you want to experiment on Unreal and you have two concerts to make, probably I'm going to do the concert for you and you're going to experiment on the Unreal because they're going to help us to deliver something very cool on the future, you know? So that's the way that we cover each other. So for example, it's coming and explaining that we need to do for the social media. And three of us is going to be super busy on that. Then another three of us is going to cover what we have to do it for the dailies. You know, so that's the way where we cover and we try to experiment. For example, one of my team want to learn Marvelous to create the jerseys of fabric to use on Sunday LEDs. So what we did in between she was learning and to create the fabric, we covered her projects. And I talk with our coordinator, one manager, and I told her, hey, this project that you have for her, we're going to do it between us. So I need she focus on this because I'm going to need that she learn this to use on here. You know, so that's the way we cover always. Or if someone is doing assets for a project, and in that moment that person is doing asset, or myself or another of the team is create asset, the rest is covering what we need to work on that moment. So we can have that balance, because when we finish, they can work with that asset and we can reestablish what we have or get some of the projects that they have, you know? So we always doing that type of things between all of us. And of course, the project managers know that I need to tell her or that, hey, this is what we're going to do. So she's in advance know how I need to handle the team on that moment. So she's prepared, and also she knows the amount of project that she need to deliver, she need to put to us how to do it, you know? So that's the key that we have, so we can experiment.
The NBA season is a long one, especially when you're a good team. What are you doing outside of work to kind of offset or reset mentally and physically in your spare time?
I have a baby, so that helped me a lot. But I also paint and read a lot. So that helped me to disconnect to what I normally do it. And also, as I say, my baby helped me a lot too, because I need to change my activity. And when I pick up him from the daycare and I separate that I have between 6 and 9 that he go to sleep, that is helped me to do it another type of things. But also in my free time, I normally read a lot and try to paint, and I make different things out of the computer, more like analogic stuff.
Nice. And this episode will be a part of our spotlight on Women's History Month. We like to do this every year to give a platform to women around the creative industry. And a part of that is we like to give back to the next generation. What advice or tips would you give to the younger generation of people who are trying to, specifically women who are trying to get into the industry or have been in the industry a while and are trying to figure out those next steps?
The first advice that I always do it for everyone that have an artistic career is learn about art. Because the tools don't make the artist. The tool is part of what you use to generate something, but it's not what you make you as an artist. But learn the art, go to the machines, understand the art history, have that as part of your mind, give you the freedom to combine that and make better piece when you generate something. Because everything is invented already. You just need to learn and need to take things from many parts and generate something new. You know, so I believe that you need to learn art to be a better artist. And you need to learn from the past, and you need to learn from the classics, and you need to learn how the shadows are on the regular paint, so you can translate that on your 2D animation, on your 3D animations, because that's important. And that gives you another perspective on how you want to see it, your work, and how you deliver your work. Because you can learn absolutely all the tools on After Effects, and absolutely all the plugins for After Effects or Photoshop, Illustrator, Cinema, whatever tools that you use it. But how you gonna use that for create something? new and different if you don't have an art background. For me, that's important, not only for women, for every single person that is going to be artist or use motion design, anything that need art involved. That's my advice. Don't spend too much money in schools that are very expensive. Spend that money, go to the museum and learning history of art.
I love that you said that, because we're in a world now where there's been a shift in the education model, but there are, I jokingly say this, but also kind of serious, is this next generation is probably going to be the most talented generation that we have. But there's more, as you said, it's more than just the talent and the tools that they have. There's also the background. How important is that to, you know, because a lot of people will graduate high school and say, oh, I've learned everything on YouTube University, but actually putting in the time and work to like learn to go many layers underneath that to get the skill and training.
Exactly. So, and now with AI, even with AI, you want to create something in AI. Okay. What you want to ask to AI? If you don't know what is the Rembrandt, or you want to generate something with the Rembrandt look or with the Van Gogh look, you know, so you need to know which where we are there or how they look. So what you generate is looks like that, you know. So that's why I say it's important to know about the art. It's important to embrace that it's part of your career, to know the history of art. So, because it's what you have in your brain, and it's the way that you can transform what you have in your brain on the tool that you have in your hands.
Love it. Also, sticking to the Women's History Month part is, do you ever kind of sit back and say, you know, I think we're all a part of history, right? But you working for an organization like the Miami Heat in the role that you are, some may say that you are a history maker as well. What would be your thoughts on that? Do you ever sit and reflect on where you are, you know, considering where you came from?
Yes, because as a person, not as a part of the history, you know, because I am very grateful while I learned during all of the years how I grow across these years or across these countries that I live already. And as a person, for me, as a woman, as an immigrant, be part of this organization, be an art director of this organization, it means a lot. Because also, sometimes my English is not the best, and I try to make an effort because it's not my first language. So for me, it's an extra effort to understand, to speak, to translate what I have in my mind, because sometimes my first thinking is in Spanish. So I try to express that in English and try to make clear what I want to say. So for me as a person, it's a history of myself, you know? So that's what I see it. Most like the history of the franchise or history of what you say it, you know, is how I grow as a person during all these years that I left my country.
Love it.
It's been interesting to hear about how your team is set up and all the different things that you touch. It's huge, but also the campaigns and everything that you guys deliver is just unbelievable. So yeah, thanks for sharing your process and background and how you think about it. Because I think that's going to be hugely helpful for people to hear and hopefully go to their bosses and be like, hey, they have a real team here and we need more help if Absolutely. We want to start delivering at this level. I mean, the fact that you have 6 motion designers blows my mind, because I know there's teams that don't even have one and some of them have maybe 1 or 2, but they're all, you know, stretched really thin. Any thoughts on making that case to your boss to grow your headcount and create higher quality content at higher volumes?
I seem to have a team inside to that create the stuff inside. So is it good because you already know the team? So is what you want to deliver is more properly or is more exactly what everyone have in mind because you have conversation during the whole season, during the year. So also, you know, the players more close because you see what they are doing. So you have that. So it's important. You see your core every day when you go to the arena. So you know why it's going to look better on some moments or no, because you are seeing in person. So that's important. And I think the greatest things that the Heat understand that and we, the creative team, there is the designers and us, work together, work so close. And the only thing that I would love to add is it's a great thanks to my team to be together, always to trash each other and believe on when I come in with something for them. And I think that's very important. And I really thanks to my team.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day.
Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives.
If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.